All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Why pray? Why pray? We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Go to slide 1 real quick. Why pray? I found this, you know, Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is what we're going to be reading. But why pray? I mean, there's a significance of prayer, and there's a purpose for prayer. I mean, how many of you, that if you are told to do something, but there's no purpose to it, or there's nothing that, you know, there's not a purpose to it, so why am I going to do it? You're not going to do it, right? Right? I mean, if there's not, if it's, you know, if it's, there's no purpose, you're not going to get anything out of it, why go? Okay? Or why do that? So why pray? So we're going to discuss why do we pray. Now, I know tonight, you know, a lot of us in this room, we pray. Well, okay, well, I know why to pray. Well, we're going to go through this anyway, and I just want to encourage you to ask the Lord to reveal some stuff to you that you didn't know, maybe to reveal your prayer life, maybe to reveal some holes in your prayer life, maybe to reveal some wrinkles in your prayer life, so that your prayer life is not something that is out of duty or that is a task, but that your prayer life is of a necessity and it is a part of your life. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Jesus says, pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our..." Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and read it together. Start over again, verse 9. And let's just read this together. Ready, set, go. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Felt like I was in Catholic Mass again. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, God, and I just pray you'll speak to us, give us revelation, Holy Spirit, of your word. God, I pray that we would be able to examine our prayer life as this message is being preached and taught. Lord, that we would look at our prayer life. Where are the wrinkles? Where are the gaps? Where's the holes? Where's our faith? Is there more doubt? Is there more of a duty, of a task? Or is it more of, God, I want to just be with you and I want to talk to you? Holy Spirit, convict us. Holy Spirit, encourage us. Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Let us find strength in the Word of God today. And wisdom and truth in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not to just say this prayer, but live this prayer. We are to live the fact that, oh, Father, our Father in heaven, holy be your name. If his name is holy, if he is holy, then we ought to live as if he is holy. For our life that is no longer ours, but his, and it is for his use and glory. A lot of people don't think like that. Okay, my life is his, but I end up wanting to do what I want to do. And that's not non-believers, that's Christians. My life is his, Jesus is my Savior, but I'm going to do what I want to do. How many of you can relate? I got my hand raised. Because I end up doing things that I want to do. And I got to be reminded, and I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is saying, "Hey, knucklehead, it's not your life, it's not your will, it's God's will." And I'm convicted and I have to repent. Because my life is no longer mine, but it is his for his use and his glory. Last Sunday night, I just decided and I just had this thought and I asked everybody that was hanging out at our house, "What's your favorite verse and why?" And everybody shared their verse, and somebody had shared a verse that was one of my favorite verses. And that's Galatians 2:20, "For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so I love that verse. I love that passage of scripture because it reminds me I'm no longer living for myself, but I'm living in this body, but it's not for me. It's for Him and for His glory. And a lot of times Christians forget that. We as Christians forget, okay, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Okay, but yes, He's your Savior, but your life and the things you do shouldn't be you doing them. It should be God doing them through you. And so we need prayer, and a prayer like this that Jesus prays, He tells us to pray. He says, therefore, in this manner, therefore, pray. Notice that in this prayer, there is recognition of who receives glory. Who does? God. Who doesn't? Me. You. Who's the source? God. And who isn't the source? You or me. Who has the power? And who doesn't have the power? Who reigns? And who doesn't reign? And how many of you can say, man, I blew it this past week because I lived like I was to be receiving the glory. I was supposed to get the recognition at work, not the other guy. Who we lived this past week, the source. I believe that it was the work of my hands that was the source that brought bread onto the table. Who has the power? You thought that you had the ability to do something instead of looking to God for the ability to do something. Or you walked with a strut like, yeah, I'm bad. Uh-huh. I did that. I completed that project. Yes, I'm great. Who reigns, God or you? This prayer, if we really look at this prayer and we dissect, and we don't have time to dissect every verse or every phrase or every part of this prayer, but if we did, man, what a humbling prayer, not just to repeat it, but to live it, not just to read it, but to live it and to repeat living this out. A humbling prayer that says, God, O Father, in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day our daily bread. He's got that daily bread. I don't have it. God, give it to me. God, I want it. Forgive us our debts. This is good. As we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I like that because I can't deliver myself. God is the one that's going to help me and deliver me out of that. I'll deliver me from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As I said last week, that one of our problems is to consider prayer as a task. That's our problem. Oh, I got to pray. It's 10 o'clock. Oh, I got to pray. When we have time. Oh, I don't have time. When we feel like it, I don't really feel like it. That's our problem. We consider prayer as that as a task. We'll get to it when we get to it. We'll do it when we feel like it. It must be a daily communication with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we're talking, it's a conversation with God. It's a conversation with Jesus. It's a conversation with the Holy Spirit every single day. It's not something that happens because, my alarm went off. It's time to pray with Jesus now. What, 5 minutes wasn't a good time to pray with Jesus? You know, and after reading this book that Shannon found, and it was, I forgot the title, it was about spending time with Jesus where the verse that says, pray without ceasing. And this guy said that even in my thoughts, I take time. What's it called? Practicing His presence. Thank you. Practicing His presence. Where every day this guy attempted to, even in his thoughts, 10 seconds went by. He's talking to God. 20 seconds went by. He's talking to God. And he's still doing his little menial task. But every 10 seconds, he was training himself that every so often, within a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds, he was talking to God. He was asking God questions. He was praising God. He was glorifying God. I mean, he was practicing. Now, as I was reading this, I'm thinking, can that really happen? Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. What can happen? You practicing yourself, your mind, to have those daily moments with God. It's not a task. I got to do it. I got to set my alarms, 10 alarms for the next 10, for the next hour. That every 10 minutes I'm going to go ahead, or every so often my alarm's going to go off and I'm going to talk to God. No, but it's every so often, every 10 seconds, he's training himself. I get to talk to God. So every few seconds, I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to request something. I'm going to glorify Him. It must be a daily communication with the Father. I don't think any of you Set times to talk to your spouse, your son, or your daughter. Oh, hold on. I got to go talk to my son now. And then you go talk to your son. I don't think any of you do that. You pick up the phone, send a text, or you just look at him and you start talking to him. Daily communication with the Father. How many of us can attest that we make prayer something like an ATM machine? Only go to it when we need something. Only when we're requesting to withdraw. Lord, I need you to help. Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, help that check don't bounce. Lord, help me not get it. Help me not get a ticket from this cop that just pulled me over. We go to him like he's an ATM machine when we want something, when we want to withdraw something. When you experience prayer as a necessity to life, just as oxygen is to the body, you begin to walk as Jesus walked. Jesus, the way he walked, the way he communicated with the Father, it was daily. And there was a direct, open communication to the Father, a close relationship where there was unity between him and the Father, and he was empowered and led by the Spirit to fulfill God's will, that what he spoke was what the Father wanted everybody to hear. What he did was what the Father wanted everybody to see. So there were times, we kind of covered that little bit for a little bit this in Sunday school, when Jesus did healings. There was moments that people were healed, and there were moments that people were not healed. That woman that had the issue of blood, she had the issue of blood for 12 years. So she had that problem before Jesus even stepped into the scene, because his ministry was only 3 years. So she had that issue of blood for 12 years. So for several years before she met Jesus, she was having that issue, having that healing, or needing that healing. But Jesus, as he experienced a communication, a relationship with the Father, he daily spoke with the Father. Slide 2. Please. A little comic picture says, it's been a hard day. Prayer, a conversation between friends. How easy is it for you to have a conversation with some friends? You pick up the phone. You go by their house. You bring them a cup of coffee while you go by the house. You set up a meeting to go ahead and meet with them. And is this a hard task to do? If it's with friends, it's something you enjoy doing. And so when we look at prayer as it is a time, it is an opportunity to have a conversation between close friends. The Bible says Jesus is closer than a brother. What does prayer look like? Many people believe that saying a simple prayer and you're done is good. The truth is that you've only just begun when you start praying, when you start talking to God. The prayers between this Pharisee and tax collector. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And I want us to look at the words. Let's look at the words. First, about this situation, it's a parable, it's a story. Again, if Jesus is telling a story and not using words, it's a fake story, but it's a story. It's not a true story, but it's a story to use as a parable to teach a spiritual principle or spiritual significance. So verse 9, it says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Notice, he was using this parable, this teaching, this story. And as he was talking to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he's talking to a bunch of, big-headed, conceited people. They thought so highly of themselves. And Jesus tells this story. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, let's compare this Pharisee's prayer to the prayer the Lord Jesus told us to pray. Who's the source? Who has the power? Who's reigning in this Pharisee's prayer? Of course, him. Oh, God, I'm thank you. Thank you, God. I'm thinking, why is he even talking to God? If he's got it all good, if he's got it all, why is he even talking to God? He's got it all there. He's got it all together, but he's talking to God anyway. And he says, I thank you that I'm not like these other men. Pointing out their faults, pointing out their shortcomings, pointing out their problems, never looking at his own. But then he looks at himself and says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went. Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Justified. This man went home justified. Forgiven. Set free. Justified. Cleansed rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When do you think that Pharisee is going to be humbled? When he stands before God. And God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't even know you. That's the point where he's going to, you know, be humbled, revealed for who he really is. And it says, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the fight is not just in the words, but in the humility in our hearts. So when we pray, I mean, to try to use all these elaborate words, it's not in the words, but the humility in our hearts. This Pharisee, I mean, he was a tax collector. He wasn't a poor, you know, poor man off the side of the road who had no education. The dude could count. He was a tax collector. So he had some kind of a status in society. But yet he had the humility that he couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he said, forgive me, God. I'm a sinner. And that humility is what we need when we go to prayer, when we talk to God. That humility, it's not just words, but the humility in our hearts, the reverence and fear that we fall before a holy and just God. Just in those two right there is a very good reason why we are to daily communicate with the Father in a conversation between our God and us. And I am talking to him, not out of duty, not out of spite, so that I can pray more than Jacob or Vince or you know, whoever, that I can pray more than them, that I can look holier than them. This has nothing to do with that. But the fact that I get to talk to him, I get to worship him, I get to pray to him, I get to praise him, I get to live in this life and bring glory to him. We also need to see that the humility to see that we are in need of a Savior. The determination within us to believe that there is an Almighty God who hears and will answer us. And this is the thing. A lot of Christians, maybe some of you in here, you don't really fully believe that God is hearing you. You don't really fully believe that God wants to answer your prayer. Does it line up with the Word? Okay, maybe you're asking for a Lamborghini. Okay, maybe chances are you're not going to get it. Okay, chances are. I'm not going to put God in a box. You may not get that big, you know, big, huge yacht. You may get a small, tiny boat, but you're not going to get that huge yacht. Okay? But what are you praying for? You're praying for your children. You're praying for their protection. God will answer as you pray and you keep praying. Slide 3. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's interesting how we look at creation, and creation knows how to give God glory. You know, and for some of you, you can say, well, duh, a tree doesn't really have, you know, a tree does, you know, does bring glory, and plants and, you know, rose bush, it brings glory to God, animals. Yeah, but they don't have minds like us. Does that make a difference? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And the heavens declare the glory of God. So why us who have these minds, who have a close connection, a relationship with God? God doesn't have a relationship with a tree or with the clouds. He has a relationship with us. And if he has a relationship with us, he wants to meet with us. He wants us to meet with him. Not out of duty, but because we get to, because of our love for him, because he first loved us. So why do we pray? And if we're going to pray, do we pray long? Do we pray short? You know, what do we do? What do we exactly say? Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. You see, prayer has purpose, just as your life has purpose. I'm hoping that you guys have already discovered God's purpose for your life. God's purpose for your life. I'm hoping that you have already learned what that is, or that you're pursuing, and he might have showed you a little bit just for the, you know, current time, but you do have purpose. Your life has purpose. Prayer has a purpose. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Let me get there real quick. Now it came to pass, as he, meaning Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, not if you pray, not you trip and fall, then you pray, but when you pray, stating that you should be praying. This should be happening already. So when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so the disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to pray. The many times that he went away alone, they noticed. Slide four, please. They noticed when he went to go pray. John Piper said, until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. I thought that was really good. You know, prayer is, you know, we cannot believe that little time with God, those little small little, you know, itty bitty moments is sufficient enough to battle against life's struggles. I'm sorry, but a 2 minute prayer is not enough for me to reach and connect with God, to remind myself or even just say the Lord's Prayer real fast, real quick. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. I mean, the little small part is not enough when I battle against life's struggles. Marriage problems, family problems, storms in this life, the people on the road, the people at Walmart, that little time that I spend with God is not enough. If it's enough for you, I don't know, but Jesus spent much time with the Father when the miracles only took a few moments. Didn't say that Jesus prayed for that person after putting mud on his eyes and he prayed there for hours on end. It didn't happen. Immediately they were healed. But he spent much time in prayer with the Father. We cannot assume that we need less time with the Father. We cannot assume that. That in our prayer time, I'm convicted that in my prayer time, I cannot assume I'm good. I don't need to add more time. Father, he only gives us 24 hours. We got to make time. We cannot assume that the little time we spend with the Father is enough or sufficient in the battles that we have to go through in life. I can't expect all of you to show up on prayer night. It would be good, but I can't expect all of you to show up. There's a lot of things going on in your life. Ministry would be more difficult if I allowed the attendance of any service to dictate how my day or my ministry goes. Yeah. That would not be a good thing for me to do. Not healthy for me, not healthy for my family, not healthy for my marriage. If I dictate the amount of people that come, the amount of money that comes, all I got to do is just worry about my life with God and my time with him and hearing what he has to say. And the ditto, the same thing goes for you in your life, your bank account, your house, the people that live in that house, all of yours. You cannot allow what happens at work or what's going on in your life to dictate how your life's going to be. It's got to be on your time with the Father. It's got to be your time with the Son. It's got to be your time with the Holy Spirit that's going to dictate how well your day is going to be. How's your day been? Oh, it's been good. Why has it been good? Has it been good because everything went right at work? Or has it been good because you had time with the Lord today? I had coffee with God today. Coffee wasn't really good, but time with Jesus was awesome because he showed something to me. I read a passage of scripture, and I sat there while I was drinking my stale coffee, but I was reading that verse 4 or 5 times, and the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation before I left. Man, it's been a good day already. You can't dictate your day based on the circumstances. And Dan was talking about that. You can't dictate it by how well your relationship with your wife is going, your husband, your children, at work. You can't dictate your day how well. It's got to be by your time well spent with God. Because if you're going to place it on other people or other things, what did you just do? You just pushed God out of the equation. Now God's no longer God. He's no longer Lord. He's no longer master. He's no longer your source. He's no longer your strength. He's no longer the one in charge. The person or the situation is. So why did they? I don't know the whole answer. And I've seen a lot of the videos Miles Monroe has preached. But why did they ask Jesus, teach us how to pray? Probably because they saw so many times the healing that he was doing, and they woke up and they saw him praying, or you know, he startled them while he was walking past them and they were sleeping, but he always went away praying. Now, when Miles Monroe said, "Jesus never," well, we don't know. Maybe there was some prayer moments that Jesus had with the disciples. "Hey, guys, let's pray. Hey, guys, let's go ahead and talk with the Father," as they were walking. As they were walking to Jerusalem, or as they were walking to Judea. "Hey, guys, for the next few moments, let's go ahead and just talk to the Father. And just, you know, just talk." So I really can't say that Jesus never. But in Scripture, it doesn't state that Jesus had a prayer service with the disciples. Even when he took his closest disciples with him, they went to pray. And it says he went a little farther and he prayed. And he spent time with the Lord. Personally speaking, if you can't see your need to spend more time in prayer with God, then there is a bigger problem than you think. I'm challenged to spend more time, to lose out on some activities, just to spend time with the Lord. Slide 5. We cannot lose our focus. Did I tell you that? Put it. Yeah. Prayer changes things. You've heard of that? Prayer changes me, man. Prayer changes you. And it's not to spend time just so that I can say I spend time with God. I'm not spending time with Jesus just to make me feel good. I'm not spending time searching for God so that I can look better than you. I'm going to commit more time in prayer because I get to meet and spend time and talk with God. And then just sit there and wait. One of the things that Dan said that I really took to heart was, "God, what's on your heart today?" Because I was like, you know what? I've been asking God for a lot of things. I've been asking God this and that, my kids, my wife, our home and this and that, you know, situations, vehicles. And I thought, you know what? I've never asked God, what is really on your heart right now? Should I stop asking for what I want? Is there a guy like Pastor Supta? And I'm going to start praying for Pastor Supta now. But is there another pastor out there, God, that it needs my prayer right now? Is there a missionary, God, that, you know, that I need to pray for right now? Show me, God. Yeah. And I'm just going to sit there and just wait on him. And so it's not out of I need to so that I can tell you all that I prayed. It's more of the fact that I get to spend time with our Creator, with our Father, our Savior, and our Holy Spirit, our Comforter. So I'm going to. If I meet with him, then I'm good. Regardless of how many people show up, I'm good. Regardless of how much money comes in, I'm good. Regardless of how difficult whatever Shannon said that was wrong, I'm good. Whatever my kids, however the attitude that my kids have, I'm good if I spend time with God. I'm good. Isn't that relieving? Those of you that work and the people that you work with and those people that seem like they just lost their brain. Isn't it awesome? The fact that you can say, "I am good, even though I'm surrounded by a bunch of knuckleheads, I am good because I spent time with God today." My day will become defined by me meeting with him. I pray that your day, your days will be defined by meeting with him, not by deadlines. Oh, I met the deadline. Not by meetings. Oh, I had a great meeting. I might get a promotion. Not by services. You just come to service just to, you know, "Hey, yeah, I had a great service, you know. I love, they sang all the songs I like." But because you met with him, I'm going to commit more time in prayer. I believe that you should too. And in closing, I want to share Hebrews 11:6. It says that faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith because faith is what will please God. Our faith is active when we pray, when we walk away from our numerous daily conversations with God, knowing that he heard us and is so willing to move on our behalf. Faith is being activated. You want to please God? Then start walking in faith. Then start praying to God. And then when you walk away from that prayer, "Thank you, God, that you heard me. Thank you, God, you got those answers lined up. I have no idea when they're going to come, but Lord, I'm thanking you that they're going to come." And you're applying faith right there. That pleases God. Scripture tells us that. that we've pleased God when we have faith, when we walk in faith. There's so many different religions out there that will say, hey, I know why we pray. Hey, there's a purpose in my prayer. Their prayer is not right. They might think that their purpose and their prayer is right. Let me ask you this question. Does their effort in prayer look more diligent than yours? This week I saw a news report, and it was Muslim people praying. And I was reminded of something that I preached a while ago about Muslim prayer. They pray five times a day before sunrise, and they recite this prayer twice out loud. They pray at midday. They recite this prayer four times silently. Afternoon prayer, they recite this prayer four times silently again. Evening prayer, they immediately after sunset, they recite this prayer twice out loud and once silently. Nighttime prayer at night, they recite this prayer twice out loud and twice silently. You know, even though they're praying to the wrong God, and even though they're praying and their purpose in praying may be right to them, but it's totally wrong because it's not to Jesus and it's not to the God that we serve, they're really devoted and they're really diligent, aren't they? Some will even carry their mat and at a certain time roll it out, face the east where Mecca is, and get on their knees and they will pray at a certain time. Those that are really devoted. That convicts me. Because how many times have I pushed aside whatever I was going to do and then go spend time with God? I need to? No. I get to and I want to because I get to spend time with my Creator. Father, we just come to you, Lord, today and we pray. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will reveal the wrinkles in our prayer life, the holes in our prayer life, the areas in our prayer life that they must be tended to, Lord. I pray, Father, that you reveal that to us. Father, I pray that in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, as it says, that you are holy. You are our Heavenly Father, and you are holy. Your kingdom comes, your will be done. Let us live that way. Father, that your will be done, not ours. Father, we desire the daily bread that we need, which is your word. Give us your word. Reveal your word to us daily, Father. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, God. Deliver us, for you are the only one that can deliver us, God. And we come to you and we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus.